This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is getting into position to be blessed.
Go with me over to 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And as you're going to that, let me give you a little background of what's going on. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 talks about a man named Jehoshaphat. Isn't that a good name? Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was king of Judah. Now, at that time, the nation of Israel had been divided in two. The northern portion was called Israel, and the southern portion was called Judah. There were two different kings, and Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. But all of it was still God's people. And Jehoshaphat was a good king, where there had been idols and sacrifices to idol gods in the land. He tore all that down. He was a righteous king, living for God. And then one day something came on the horizon which caused Jehoshaphat to tremble in fear. Look at what happened. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 and then verses 13 through 17. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazetzon Tamar, which is in Gedi." Now down to verse 13. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." Praise God. I love this passage of Scripture. God testifies to his people. You've got enemies coming against you. You've got trouble. You've got coming against you that which is greater than you can handle. But don't worry about it, because the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. How many of you know that God is in the business of blessing his people? I just want to run through some scriptures right quick, because there are three fundamental truths that I want you to get today. Truths that you have to understand if you're going to be blessed the way that God wants to bless you. Number one, God is committed to blessing his people. Jeremiah 29:11. Familiar scripture here at Covenant Community Church. Let me read it to you from the NIV. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and the future." Is God good? 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." Romans 8:32. "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing will God withhold from those who walk uprightly. Do we have a good God?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. God is in the business of blessing his people. Have you ever thought about this? Why did God create you? What do you have to give God? Anybody here think you have something to give God that God doesn't have? You know why God created you? He created you to pour out his blessings on you. That's why he doesn't need anything you got. What do you have that God didn't give you? No, all he wanted is to pour out his love into your life. We have a God who is committed to blessing his people. That's the first thing that we need to know. But here's the second thing. The blessings of God in the life of the believer are not automatic. The blessings of God in the life of the believer are not automatic. Catch this. God wants to bless you. He created you to bless you, but you will not automatically receive his blessings. In fact, let me tell you something. Listen to this. Your receiving God's blessings does not depend on God. It depends on you. Now think about that for a moment. For you to receive the blessings of God that he wants you to have, that he has already prepared for you, it doesn't depend on God. It depends on you. Here's a $20 bill. Let me see if I have another one here. I think I've got another one. Okay, got a couple of them here. All right. I always have to say this. This is a demonstration. All right. This is not real. Amen. All right. Now, back in the demonstration here. Here are $20 bills, and let's assume that I've got about 15 of them up here, okay? And here they are. I'm going to put them on top of the pulpit. Anybody who wants one can come up and take it. Remember, this is a demonstration. All right. Now, think about it for a moment. The demonstration? No, Dana, come on. You're free. Come on. Come and take it. Praise the Lord. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the demonstration part, of course, is she got to give it back. Oh, she took both of them. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Now, catch it. For her to get those two bills, who did that depend on? Was it me or on her? If she had decided to sit in her seat, where would those bills still be? Right there. Because why? I already did my part. I made them available. So it no longer depended on me. It all depended on her being willing to follow my instructions and get up out of the seat and go get them. Thank you, Dana. Now follow my instructions and put them back. Thank you. Catch it. God wants to bless us. He has purposed to bless us. He has planned to bless us. He has put it in place. But understand, if you are not being blessed, it is not God's fault. Because your being blessed with God's blessings does not depend on God. Not anymore. Why? He's already put it in place for you. It depends on you. And that's what we see illustrated in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 shows us that God wants to protect his people. He wants to fight the battles for his people. But the people have to do something. Go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Look at verses 16 and 17. 2 Chronicles 20, 16 and 17. God has said, I'm going to fight the battle for you. But look at what has to happen. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. I want you to notice some verbs. The Lord said, Jerusalem, Judah, in order to have God fight this battle for you, you have got to go down against them. Position yourselves. Stand still and go out against them. In other words, the people were the ones who had to do what God commanded them to do in order for them to receive the blessing. And there's a particular word I want us to focus on today. Look again in verse 17. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Catch it. God says you got to take up the right position. If you are not rightly positioned, you will miss out on God's blessings. I need a tall man. Mike, come on down. Come on down. Or come on up. Okay, I want you to open up that umbrella for me, please. Now, by the way, if there's anybody here who is thinking bad luck, don't believe me. How many of you know that with a Christian, there is no such thing as luck? Amen. We have a God who holds us in the palm of his hand. Amen? Amen. Amen. So forget bad luck. Amen? Okay, Mike, you can stand over there. How many of you know that God has promised to protect you? Amen? Amen. Protect his people. Praise God. So hold up the umbrella there. For me. Mike is representing God.
Yes.
Amen. Okay, now God don't need an umbrella.
No.
No, the umbrella is for
you.
Amen. Catch it. As long as I am in position under the umbrella, it's raining, it's storming, guess what? I'm dry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm in God's place and I'm in position to receive his blessing as long as I stay under the umbrella. Now, Mike, I want you to just follow me. Come on. Okay, I decide, I think I'll go over here where this chair is. And the umbrella followed me, and here I am, I'm still protected. I think I'll go over here. The umbrella followed me, and I'm still protected. How many of you know that that is a lie? God does not work that way. Amen. Go take that, stand back over there again. Let me tell you how God works. God invites me to come and stand under his umbrella of protection. Hallelujah. The rain's falling down. I'm protected. Then I look over there. I see something I like. Oh, I think I'll go get that. Hallelujah. Guess what? The Bible says God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Guess what? He doesn't move. He doesn't move. When I decide I take a whim, I'm going to go down to a certain place, you know, maybe up on 6th Street and go into a certain place where they do things that we don't even want to talk about in church. Amen. And I make that decision. How many of you know that umbrella does not go with me? When I get out there and I go to that place or I go do something that is not according to what God has for me, I am out of position. And the umbrella of protection does not follow me. I am on my own. You see, God's told his people, go get into position and do what? Stand. Stand there. Stand firm. And you will see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. But if I ever get myself out of position, the protection is still there. The blessing is still there. Amen. It has not moved. Who moved? I did. And if I get wet, whose fault is it? It's my fault. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what God is telling us. If we will get ourselves in position, stay in position, we will receive the blessings that he's already set up for us. But when we are not in position, we will miss out on the blessing. Thank you. You're great. Hallelujah. All right. Let's talk about some ways that we get out of position. Some ways that we determine that, hey, I think I want to move over there, try to get something. Let me tell you one way. Go over and look at Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Any of you ever wanted some peace? Let me tell you one of the ways that people go about trying to get peace in the world today. Somebody's under stress, under strain. Things are not going the way they want them to go in their life. And somebody tells them, you just take this and shoot it and you will feel some peace. I'm not even going to ask if anybody's ever been there. But what are you seeking? You're seeking something that God has already provided. God has provided peace. He says if you keep your mind stayed on him, you will have his peace. Amen. But in order to feel good when your world feels bad, you're going to go a different place. You just stepped out from under the umbrella. Let's take it a step further. Go over to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. How many of you want companionship in this life? Want some intimacy with another human being in this life? Let me just see. Is there anybody that wants to have a strong relationship with somebody else in this life? Amen. Look at this. Hebrews 13, 4. Let me show you where God's umbrella is. Hebrews 13, 4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Where is God's umbrella? It's in a place called marriage. Amen. But when we go and try to get companionship and love and intimacy and all of that good stuff anywhere else but where the umbrella is, what? We have stepped outside of God's ark of protection. We have gotten out into the rain and we are on our own. And how many of you know that lives have been destroyed because of people seeking love, what do they say? In all the wrong places. Amen. They moved out from under where that umbrella of blessing is, trying to get it for themselves, and God will not move. When you move away from his ark of protection, you are on your own, and what you get is not on God. It is on you. Perhaps you've been somebody who is struggling financially. And oh, I need a second job or a third job. Oh, I'm struggling financially. Let's find out where God's umbrella is. Go over to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke 6, 38. Where is the umbrella? Give and it will be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Do you see how it works? God has placed his umbrella of blessing in certain places. And he said, if you'll stand in this place, if you'll stand in the place of being a giver rather than a taker, who will give generously because Lord, the Lord loves what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. Then what? He says, I'm going to pour out into your life what? Blessings. The blessing you've been looking for over here, God already has it prepared for you over here. Do you see? The point is, God says you've got to be in position in order to receive his blessings. And if you get out of position, you're going to miss the blessing and you're going to be out there on your own. And God has not promised to fight the battle for you if you are not in the proper position. Well, that's what we want to talk about. How to get in position and stay in position. And one of the first things you need to know is you've got an enemy that's trying his best to get you out of position. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. You know this verse. 1 Peter 5, 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You need to know that the enemy, if you are a Christian, the enemy is going to come against you to attack you. That's what happened to Jehoshaphat. Go back and look at 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 and 2. It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Look at verse 2. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. Now here's the point. They came and they told Jehoshaphat, the enemy is coming to attack you. You need to know when the enemy is coming to attack you. Now, somebody needs to tell you, amen? Guess what? I'm the one. I'm telling you right now, if you are a Christian seeking to be positioned to receive the blessings of God, the enemy is on his way to attack you. No, in fact, he already has you under attack. You need to know that you are on a war footing. And the battle is serious. I study a lot about the Civil War. And I remember the first major battle of the Civil War was fought outside of Washington in a place called Manassas, or anybody know the other name? No Civil War historians here. Bull Run. All right. And this was going to be the first fight between the Confederates and the Union forces. And everybody in Washington said, we're going to whip those rebels. Let's get our picnic baskets and we're going to go out and watch our army mop up the ground with those rebels. And so they went out to fight the battle. And there all the people from Washington were in their Sunday best, picnicking and, you know, spread out picnic basket on the ground and everything. Except nobody gave the rebels the script. Instead of getting beaten, they beat the Union forces. And suddenly you had all of these folks running back to Washington because what they thought was going to be a picnic turned out to be a war. The devil wants to keep us picnicking while he mounts the attack against us. You need to know when you are in a fight. Amen? You don't need to have your picnic basket out when you need to have your rifle on your shoulder. And so the first thing is you need to know when the devil is coming against you. Let me tell you what the second thing you need to know is. You need to know who your enemy is. Look back at these verses. And it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others beside the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. They identified who the enemy was. You need to know your enemy. Who is this enemy that's coming against us? Let me tell you. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. And he wants to trap you like a rat in a trap that's baited with some good smelling cheese. And he will make, because he's a liar and he can deceive you, he will make self-destructive behavior seem reasonable and pleasurable and profitable to you. That's the kind of enemy that you have. Here's the third thing you need to know. You need to know how the enemy is coming at you. It says he's coming from Syria and they are in Hazazon Tamar. You need to know which way is he coming so that you can get in position to meet the enemy. When I was playing football, we would send scouts to the games of the opposing team that's coming up. And they would scout all their plays. And then, of course, we would spend the week practicing against all of their plays. Why? So that we would know the plays that are going to be run against us. And when we saw that play developing, when we see the guard pull to this side and the fullback moves to that side, we know what play they're beginning to run and we can get in position to stop the play. Well, understand, you need to understand which way the enemy is going to come at you so that you can stop his plays. Let me give you some plays that the enemy might run. You borrow your daddy's car. It has handicap plates on it. Now, you're not handicapped. But then you go up to the 7-Eleven, and all the normal parking spaces are filled, and you got handicap plates on your car. So, the thought enters your mind. I'm only going to be in there for 30 seconds. Let me just use these handicap plates. You know what you ought to say? When that thought comes to you, I recognize that play. That's the compromise your integrity and your testimony as a Christian in order to save 15 seconds play. And I'm going to get myself in position not to get run over by that play. See, you need to know how the enemy is going to come at you. Here's another play he'll run at you. It's getting a little bit more serious here. Your wife does not understand you. Or we can turn it around, it's your husband. Doesn't understand you, doesn't appreciate you, doesn't respect you. I mean, it's just bad when you go home. But now there's a young lady that's just showed up at work. Thinks you are the best thing since sliced bread. Now, ladies, by the way, let me tell you a secret here. You know, when you see somebody like that, and men, it goes for you too. When you see somebody like that and they look oh so good, oh, they look so good. And then you start comparing them against what you got at home. Understand the comparison that's happening in your mind. You're comparing the best she got against the worst of what you got at home. And if you could see what she got when she gets home, you realize it's not as good as it looks. Amen? But what happens? The devil starts whispering in your ear. Oh, my wife doesn't understand me. My wife doesn't respect me. My wife just really doesn't love me. And here's somebody. Oh, I should just start spending some time with her. You know, just to share. And, you know, nothing's going to happen. We're not going to do anything. I just want to spend some time with her. And then the bell goes off. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. I recognize that play. That's the commit adultery in your mind and then go on to commit it in bed play. See, we need to recognize how the enemy is going to come at us so we can be in position. Oh, here's one. Here's one. This applies to all of us here. Something is not going the way it should in church. It's too cold, or it's too hot, or somebody didn't recognize all of that time and effort and work that you put in for the church, and nobody said a thing to you. And as you start thinking about all of that, you just get into a conversation with Sister Sue, and everything that you're already thinking about, she starts talking about it, starts complaining about it. And what's going on in your mind? You know, oh, she's absolutely right. And but then that little bell goes off, the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, oh, I recognize that play. That's the start your gossiping and sharing the backbiting and tearing down the church and the pastor play. And you step back and say, let me get in position to defend against that play. Do you see how this thing works? Anytime I feel the need or the desire or I am under pressure to move even a little bit out of what I know God's will for me is, I am moving out from under the umbrella. I am out of position. But when I recognize the devil's play, when I recognize that he's coming at me this way, I can get in position under God's umbrella to defeat him and defeat what he's trying to do in my life. You need to be alert. Whenever you feel the temptation, whenever you feel the desire to do something that you know in the back of your mind, deep down inside your spirit, is not exactly what God wants you to do, just understand, you are thinking about, should I move this far from out from under the umbrella or that far out from under the umbrella? Guess what? It doesn't matter how far you go. If you're not under the umbrella, you're going to get wet.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcomchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.